tapestry weaves together the threads of our struggles and doubts, curiosities, our faith, our joys and hopes, to create meaningful conversations that matter. You know those late night conversations that go unexpectedly deep? That's what we want to capture with the Tapestry Podcast. And we want everyone to jump in the conversation. Because when we are heard and valued, we can begin to believe we are loved. Welcome to the Tapestry Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Tapestry Podcast. I am here with Mwangi.
Hey.
And with my stunning wife, Heidi Orr.
Hello.
And she is filling in for those of you who have followed the podcast for a long time. Haley's been along for the ride the whole time. She's on a hiatus for now. So we're going to have a few episodes without Haley, our beloved friend. But we wish her all the best. And we're really glad to have Heidi here with us. So thank you for stepping in.
I'm very glad to be here. Hi, Haley.
And we are talking about the question, why do we hide? And last episode, we talked a little bit about the kinds of masks that we tend to wear, the ways that we tend to hide from each other. Maybe even, we didn't talk about this, but maybe even from ourselves. I think a large part of my life has been a front that I've believed in. And in this episode, we're going to talk a bit about getting vulnerable, being able to let some of that guard down, taking off that mask, and kind of what that looks like, maybe how we've done it in the past, how one can do it, and maybe even some of the things that enable us to do it, and identifying the spaces where, like, actually you probably shouldn't be vulnerable in that spot because maybe those people or that area, that space isn't safe. So yeah, I guess we can start by talking about what vulnerability looks like in each of our lives. And yeah, go from there. Anybody want to start?
I think I'll start with what you just said. Not every space is safe for that, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. I think last episode we're talking about masks and stuff like that. Not every space maybe deserves you to be your full self, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe right. Receive that vulnerability. So I'm not saying be fake, but I would also say, like, not every space is there to support you, right? If you're vulnerable, it might do quite the opposite. It might make you feel worse sometimes if you're vulnerable, right? And vice versa, but yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, people use the term friend of Job about Job was going through the worst time of his life. The Bible story is what I'm referring to. And, you know, the friends of Job were referring to his friends not being really there for him and kind of making him feel worse in the worst time of his life instead of being supportive or just being with him. And I think we've all had those friends, and we learn who to be vulnerable with based on their responses.
Yeah. Yeah, I've learned more and more about being vulnerable in my own life and being able to share the things that I would normally think aren't shareable. And one of the beautiful things about that is I've found much deeper connections with other people because I've been able to be vulnerable. And this is in the last episode, I mentioned how part of my personality is that I seek admiration. I seek approval from other people. I tend to want other people to like me and all of that. And I've in the past thought that being vulnerable or sharing the things that are harder or darker or like just not bright and shiny in my life would drive people away. But I found actually kind of the opposite. And like the flip side of that coin, or like maybe there's a third side to that coin, mm-hmm. where I'm like, oh, this is just another way that I can be admired by being vulnerable. And people are like, oh, he's so spiritual, or he's so, look, he can let his guard down so well. So I have to continue to be self-aware in that I could end up using vulnerability as actually just another mask. So I don't know if you ever thought of that, listener, but I thought of it and I was like, oh no, I've gone down this rabbit hole now.
Well, there's that fake humility people use too. I'm not saying you're using fake humility, but people are trying to be vulnerable in a way that they're fishing for compliments. Or
I only ran 5 miles today. I'm such a failure.
I don't sound good on this song that I sang and posted for everyone to put a big heart on.
Yeah, we've all been around. We've all seen that. And I try, I try not to fish for compliments.
I mean, but it's hard not to. Well, coming back to what we talked about with social media, one part of that is like trying to draw attention to yourself. And so like how do you mentioned like the vulnerability thing, it's likely going to get more likes, right?
Yes.
It's probably going to get me more popular, to your point, Mike. So then it becomes this, not a spiral, but it's like, okay, what's the next thing after that, right? After I do this, how do I top it? How about that, right? Because people are going to want to see more, and then it becomes ridiculous.
I got that endorphin boost from 900 likes, so what can I do next?
What can I do next, right? Or I didn't get any likes, therefore I need to top it, right? Maybe that wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And I had to become more vulnerable, do something more, you know, more extreme. It's a really interesting point, and I completely agree with it. It can be staged, if you will.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and it's hard to, I mean, I'll speak as the token female of the three of us. Girls are not supposed to be confident and boastful. And I grew up with a very strong relationship with my dad, and I tend to be a very confident person, and I know my strengths. But when that's come out in my life, that's made me appear very boastful, or not the way that people want to perceive me, right? So there's that fine line of, no, I know I did a good job on this dance, but I'm not allowed to say that, right? Like I have to do that. Oh, I hope you like this. I kind of screwed up a few times.
Yeah.
So it's a very hard place to be in where you're not sounding full of yourself, and you're not, you don't want to be fake and humble, but.
Yeah. Listeners, I would really love to hear how maybe there are some gender differences here. Like, it does seem like it's okay for men to be, you know, maybe not braggadocious, but like pretty forward about their accomplishments. And I've actually been in the room where I see like some, a little bit of like negative reaction when Heidi is like kind of confident and bold. It, for some people it's winsome, and to some people it's kind of like, oh, she's competition, maybe.
Or, right. That's not the correct response.
It's also cultural.
Down on yourself.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's also cultural, to your point, exactly, Heidi. Like, you look at how, let's say, men and women, but also cultures will take this vulnerability into some cultures. You're not, whether you're a man or woman, you can't be vulnerable, right? You may have to, right? So, two, it's where you grew up and your environment can be a factor in your authentic self, or whoever, how you show up, or how many masks you may wear, or wear a certain type of mask, again, outdoors versus indoors, you know, and things like that. So I know culturally it's also there.
Oh yeah. I mean, men don't cry, right?
Yeah.
Men don't cry. And, number one, BS. That's not true. The strongest men that I know are, feel free to cry. There is something about vulnerability that is, it's hard for all of us, because it's vulnerable. Like there's a danger in it. You're not just taking off a mask, but like you're taking off some armor.
Yeah.
And, Brené Brown, if you guys haven't, I know you guys have heard of Brené Brown, but, listeners or viewers, if you've never heard of Brené Brown, she does some excellent work on vulnerability and how powerful it is. And I think we talked about connection a little bit ago. That's one of the first things that it's so powerful about it. another thing that I think kind of speaks to the spiritual side of it is that if I put on like a good enough show, especially as a spiritual leader, then people have like a false standard that they might try to live up to, mm-hmm. that they believe that I or someone like me is like always hitting home runs on this kind of thing or never has these kinds of spiritual problems. And so then like they're trying to live up to something that's not, it's not true. And it's especially dangerous, I think, in faith communities, like if you've got the kind of a superstar pastor who can do no wrong. But I think it's also bad in like lots of other ways, right? If we're not honest about who we are or like what we struggle with, then there are people out there who think that there are people who don't struggle, and that's just not true. Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the spiritual values in being vulnerable is that it shows a more authentic self to people, and they're not chasing after something that's an illusion, a complete, maybe sometimes complete falsehood, but at least a partial falsehood.
Mm-hmm. It's like taking steroids, right? somebody's popping and they take steroids and you think to your point, like, oh yeah, they're, you know, if they don't tell you, right? If they don't tell you, then you assume this is the benchmark. And therefore, if I'm not achieving that, either something's wrong with me or I need to change things, when in reality, that's not what's occurring. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess that's similar to like either plastic surgery or any kind of thing like that, filters on photographs. But I think you might have been about to say something. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I think, too, you talked about being cultural vulnerability or lack thereof, and I think a lot of it too is upbringing. So for me, I struggled with different relationships, having a support system. And so I kind of grew that armor and to protect myself against things and to be confident and to take care of myself. And I had a therapist recently say, that armor that you created as a child doesn't fit you anymore, but you're still carrying it around to protect yourself. And that, you know, that of course stuck deep and I was like, that's keeping my so armor. Because really the definition of being vulnerable is you're opening yourself up to be hurt. And how many of us are trained to receive that hurt and to heal from it instead of putting up more walls or putting on more armor. It's a hard thing to do. No one wants to get hurt, and to continue to open yourself up and be that, like you said, it has to be around the right people. It's not for everybody.
Yeah. Well, I did think of an example of someone who was incredibly vulnerable on the world stage. And, yeah, maybe not in the like right space, but did it anyway. Simone Biles, mm-hmm. when, she did not have the Olympics that she hoped she would. Mm-hmm. And you
the
know,
goat.
And she is the goat. Yeah, she is the goat, right? She's the greatest of all time. But I forget the name for the term for like the spinnies, someone will correct me. But as a gymnast, when all of a sudden you can't kind of find your equilibrium anymore. And she was also talking about dealing with like genuine mental health issues,
right.
as an athlete, as a woman, as someone who's been in the spotlight since she was a teenager, and
I
all of those things.
Mwangi was at the Olympics.
We saw Simone Biles. Yeah. We saw her live. Yeah. It's
jealous.
Nuts.
But this would be the one where this is the
pride. Yeah.
Kind
yeah
of
but that's, I think
after.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, but the more poignant thing is what you're saying, Mike, and then for her to come back. So this narrative that maybe she was broken and therefore done, like completely got disrupted, because if you all remember, when she took a, you can call it a hiatus, I don't care what you call it, but she was crapped on, right?
Yes.
By many people.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
And like,
especially in the manosphere.
Yeah. Right. People telling her about what she should do. People have never done anything world worthy in their lives,
yeah.
but they've
right.
got advice. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to tell her what to do. But for her to do that and still come back and conquer or do what she wanted to is absolutely remarkable. I love that. It's a great story.
Mm-hmm. And not just because she's an amazing athlete. I think actually her vulnerability and her ability to say, like, no, everybody, like, this was, I need this break. And I'm going to tell you, like, mm-hmm. at least everything I can about why. I think that was part of her journey toward being able to come back
right.
and, like, just do stuff that nobody's ever done before.
Well, and how many athletes took that advice or that example into their own life and saved themselves from injury or from mental health issues? Or she was just probably spoke to more than she'll ever know by showing that vulnerability on that stage.
Which is kind of, to me, yeah, just a great example of the power of vulnerability to break down walls, to help other people rise up who maybe never would have risen.
Right.
And it's a thing that we all, at least on some level, want to avoid, right? Because it is scary. Mm-hmm. And the very definition of it, like you said, is that you're becoming vulnerable to being hurt. Mm-hmm. And we don't like that. But otherwise, we're all walking around in armor all the time. And it's almost certainly armor that doesn't fit us anymore because it was made for our childhood.
Mm-hmm. Or whatever trauma caused mm-hmm. us to start it in the first place.
Yeah. Great. Again, I think we're not agreeing, but I think we're kind of sort of converging it. This idea of, so therefore, to your point, Heidi, too, like, not everybody deserves it, right? Not everybody deserves your vulnerability. They don't get to have it sometimes, right? They don't, because it might be a currency of type that, no, you can't afford this. It's not for you, and, like, you don't deserve it because, you know, again, people may, you open up and what they throw at you may make things worse or become toxic, so... Yeah,
and on that note, I've had the experience of being vulnerable and sharing things and kind of having it, I don't know, bite me a little bit. Like, I don't want to overstate it because I know, I'm sure there are people who have stories and I'd love to hear them. But, like, I was able to avoid getting COVID for the first 3 years. And then when I finally did... it wasn't as awful as I know some of the people who got it early on were, but then I did have some lingering symptoms. And as I was trying to work out, my heart rate was doing weird things and stuff like that. And rather than not sharing that with people, I decided to be a little bit vulnerable about it and kind of share, like, oh, yeah, I'm kind of having this. But that ended up giving kind of this impression that I had long COVID, which is not the case. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to kind of model that kind of forthrightness, mm-hmm. Being open about those kinds of things. Then later on, when many of you know, I broke my neck a little over a year and a half ago in a mountain bike crash.
Do not recommend.
0 out of 10 stars. It is not good.
Not the type of vulnerability we want.
Please, do not try at home.
Well, and Heidi was there. I mean, I will start crying if I talk about it too much, but the way that you were by my side during all of that. It was incredible. But I've continued to share about my experience with kind of continuing symptoms. Like, people are like, oh, you're all better. I'm like, better. I guess still can't feel this finger all the way. I've got some, for those of you who are only listening and not watching, this is my right index finger.
It's an appropriate finger.
Yes, I don't have full sensation in it yet. And I may never. And I also have other nerve issues and stuff like that. And sometimes when I share that, people are like, oh, no. I'm like, no, it's really, you guys, I'm doing so, so well.
He walked away from breaking his neck twice.
Yeah, this could have been a situation like, for those of you who are familiar with Christopher Reeves, who plays Superman. Christopher Reeves?
Reeves.
Reeves.
I'm going with Reeves.
Final answer. Yeah. Believe you.
Final answer.
Final answer. Locked in.
Somebody's going to comment, and then we'll know. It could have been a situation like that where, you know, in a wheelchair, you know, like, tube to move myself around in the thing. And people have really appreciated the ways I've been vulnerable. But then there have been some other times where I'm like, I don't just want to talk about my neck, though. Can we talk about, like, something else, maybe? I am more than my most recent traumatic injury. I mean, do you guys have any examples of maybe where you were vulnerable and you were like, oh, maybe backfired a little?
Yeah, I'm sure. I just have to narrow down.
But I get what you're saying, Mike. Maybe somebody shares something and that becomes their identity, or like that's what people keep coming back to and never letting it. That's what I'm saying. I think it just depends on it's not for everybody, right? There's some people, like you saying, you'll share and then that's your hook. I'll keep bringing that up over and over. Like, well, how's that neck? What about that neck? Let me introduce you to Mike. He broke his neck, right?
Yes.
And you become this sort of like just thing, if you will, in their lives that they prop up or use, and use your vulnerability, right, in a not necessarily negative way, but just like as a plaything, if you will.
Well, if I'm allowed to get 110% vulnerable, because that reminded me during COVID, Mike and I had two miscarriages within 6 months. So, like, also do not recommend. Mm-hmm. However, we shared that with our community more so as a way for people to stop asking us, when are you having kids? And that sensitivity to that. And that backfired big time for me, not only having the physical and emotional healing going on in our lives, but like you were saying, having that thing define you, where every time you walked into a place, people give you that side look and, oh, how are you doing? And I'm like, I'm more than this, you know. We were sharing that as a way for you to not ask us about it.
Yeah.
Well, and to try to kind of remove some of the taboo around it. People don't talk about miscarriages. Right. People don't talk about, they're not vulnerable in that way. It seems like it's an off-limits topic. And so we wanted, I think, genuinely to help bring that out into the light. And I think we also learned why some people don't want to talk about it, because then it becomes the only thing people want to talk about, or they have different kinds of advice that isn't...
Oh, the advice.
Not always...
So much advice.
Unsolicited advice about everything from what kind of underwear to wear and stuff like that.
All the things that I didn't want that were not helpful in that moment.
So if you were one of those people and you're listening or watching, we love you dearly.
Yes.
And
you are not alone.
Yeah.
I think just because you're vulnerable doesn't mean you have to be, you want to talk about that thing 100% of the time. And sometimes it's a closed and shut case. I said this, I put it out there. Okay. But it's out there. Like it was out there then. Right. It doesn't keep you like, I don't owe you anything because I put this out there, right? Or I wrote this book or anything like that, that now like you can come up to me and do whatever. Like I said, I was at a conference last week and one of my friends arrived early and we were all having a big dinner and she's like, no, I'm not feeling it. And we cut off for breakfast. But we were just talking about, hey, you know when you're not feeling it sometimes? And I don't mean just being tired, but just like, I don't want to be around people. If I'm around people, and then we started talking about... People will expect you to be cheery because that's what they know about you. So some people had not met her. Are like, yeah, you're this cheery person. So that you just like, I'm not sad, but also don't want to be on 10. I just want to chill. And if that atmosphere allowed that, then fine. But it's not easy, right? It's not easy being vulnerable and at all. And it's tough if you're a kid, right, in your school and navigating stuff and not knowing how to respond and things like that, or what songs tell you. But I could say that for me, when I think about vulnerability, like I think about art, right? I think art shows vulnerability in so many different ways, right? Whether it's dance, music, painting, sculptures, right? Mm-hmm. To me, artists do such a good job of showing vulnerability through art. So it's not even necessarily them, but man, I just love going to museums and stuff like that and looking at paintings and sculptures or listening to a good song, where even sometimes the artist, they don't even know that they're creating that. They're just doing something, you know, and it comes out and they just say, wow, okay, right? Dang, that it's not necessarily them, but it's an expression or something, you know?
Yeah. And then, there is a book called The Heart of the Artist by Rory Noland. Mm-hmm. And it describes in there that as an artist, it's an extension of yourself. So if you paint something and ask someone, do you like this? You're actually saying, do you like me?
Mm-hmm.
Because I put myself into this. Mm-hmm. So that goes exactly along with what you were saying of you're putting yourself out there. You're being vulnerable for people to judge and say, do I like it or not? What do you think of this?
Yeah.
So especially something so subjective. And I think the other thing is that this vulnerable, it doesn't have to be words necessarily. You don't have to write a book. The vulnerability can come out in many different ways. It could be a garden that you're planting. It could be a recipe you're coming up with. I don't care, right? Like, it's not always this social media post, but to your point, Heidi, like, it's still vulnerable, right? You have somebody taste something and they say, oh, nah. And you're like, dang, I spent all day on that. And this is my best foot forward. What am I going to do next? If I can't impress them with this.
You hate me.
Well, you must.
Well, vulnerability can be powerful, and it's, as we've talked about, has some potential pitfalls, and we talked a little bit about how to avoid some of those. In our next episode, I would like to talk a little bit more about kind of balancing what we share and maybe even what we celebrate, and how that could have some spiritual implications as well, and maybe talk about the classic overshare. Right, maybe we've all been around some people like that. So thanks for joining us for this episode. Thanks, Wangi and Heidi, for this conversation. And we will hopefully catch all of you on our next one. If you want to know more about Tapestry, you can check out tapestrytalk.org, and you can see other podcast episodes, other videos we've done. You can see how to get connected with our Discord channel for a discussion, so we can actually talk to each other. You don't just hear our voices. And we would love to get connected more deeply with you guys. So see you next time.
Peace out.
Bye.
The Tapestry Podcast is produced by Stephen Bailey. Original music was scored by Taylor Martin. Our hosts are Haley Bird, Wangi Ndonga, and me, Mike Orr. Special thanks to Lauren Richmond Jr. and Resonate Media. You can learn more about Tapestry and join the conversation on our Discord channel at tapestrytalk.org. Thanks for joining us.